Your check's in the mail. Thank you very much. That was very kind of you. Hey, my name is Matt Turgiano. I'm one of the pastors here. And if you are a guest, we are really thrilled that you would choose to join us. We hope you've all had a wonderful Thanksgiving. And before I go any further, we're just going to pray for the offering that we're about to receive. Father, we thank you for what you're doing here. We thank you for just the opportunity to be in your presence, to meet with you, and to worship you through song. And now I just ask that you would bless us as we offer our finances back to you, Lord. Would you continue to use our giving, Lord, to bless this community, to really bring people closer to you. And I pray that you would really just continue to put deep within our hearts that we're just meant to be a generous community so that we can really change and impact our community for your kingdom. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Well, again, it's great to see you guys. Hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. As I said earlier, my name is Matt Turgiano, and normally I'm back here. And so today I'm really excited to be able to come up front a little bit and to give the message to you guys. And I just want to start out by telling you a little bit about myself. I'm married, my wife Rebecca, and I have a wife named Rebecca, and I have four sons, and I have an incredible daughter-in-law and a grandson, and they're actually all here today, which is not often the case. And so it's been great. We've had a great time as a family, and so it's awesome to have them here. Shout out to the Turgiano crew. And as early as I can remember, I have loved two things. I have loved, always, baseball and music, okay? Now, I've played baseball. I don't play anymore, but I played baseball most of my life, although I haven't played music for a long time, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But I can remember, I grew up in New York City, in Brooklyn, and I was a paper boy, and with my first paycheck from my paper route, I went to the grocery store and bought my very first two records, okay? It was 1984, so don't freak out, but I bought Michael Jackson's Thriller and Bryan Adams' Reckless. Don't judge me, it's okay, all right? No emails about it, all right? And then at 13 years old, my parents took me to my very first rock concert. Okay, wait for it. It was Bruce Hornsby and The Range. I mean, is that not the picture of rock and roll in the 80s? That's just the way it is. Come on, you remember that? And here's what I can tell you. I was absolutely mesmerized by it. I loved it. I loved going to a concert. I loved hearing live music. And so I spent most of my teenage years growing up in New York doing two things, playing baseball and going to as many concerts as I possibly could. And so that's what I did. And at 18 years old, I was offered a scholarship to play baseball at a small school in Springfield, Missouri named Evangel College. And while I grew up in the church and knew who Jesus was, it was at 18 years old that I gave my life to Christ. And my college years were an incredible time of discovering who Jesus was for myself, of figuring out the plan that he had for my life, and living out my childhood dreams of playing collegiate baseball. That's actually me right there. Coming home, I don't know which one with this was, but this is one of my home runs. And I still tell myself that I'm working towards getting back to looking like that, minus the goatee. You know, it was the 90s. What are you going to do? But anyway. And actually, so I graduated college and I moved back to New York City. And I was a part of a vineyard church called the New York City Vineyard. And at 22 years old, I was leading a small group in New York City. And we met on the rooftop of an apartment building in Greenwich Village in Manhattan. And the reason we met on a rooftop was because the apartment was so small that if more than three or four of us were there, we couldn't actually fit in the apartment. And so we were a bunch of young 20-somethings in New York, lots of different kinds of people, actors, artists, people in the fashion industry. But we didn't have one person in our group that could play an instrument, which was kind of strange. And so my baseball career was over. I had all kinds of time for a new hobby. And I grabbed a guitar at 22 years old from my parents' house. And I bought a book. I went to the music shop and I bought a book that would show me pictures of where to put my fingers to learn how to make chords. This is pre-YouTube. You know, YouTube can teach you virtually anything you want to know how to do today, but I didn't have that. And so I bought this book and it showed me where my fingers went so I can learn three or four chords. And I drove my roommates and my neighbors absolutely bonkers learning how to play. And I figured if I could just learn two or three songs so that I can lead my small group in worship, then that would be the height of my music career. Like, that was my goal. It's funny how things have turned out. But so for me, while I had a deep love and appreciation for music before coming to Christ, worshiping God through song and through singing has incredibly shaped my life and my relationship with God over the last 18 years. See, here at the Vineyard, we believe passionately that we are called to be a worshiping church. As our first priority of a people of God, it's our first priority would be that we would worship Him. And many of you, maybe you're sitting here right now and you're like, what does that actually mean? What does it mean to worship? You see, we're created to worship. Deep within each of us is this desire to worship, to attribute and ascribe worth and value to something or someone. And in so doing, we give ourselves to that thing. It's how we as human beings are wired. So worship is something that we do all of the time. It's impossible not to do this thing. It's how God's created us. And here's the deal. God's desire is that He would be the object of our worship. That we would return the love and the devotion that He first offers us. See, our mission statement here at the Vineyard is to transform ordinary people into extraordinary followers of Christ. And worship plays a significant role in doing that. Our commitment to a lifestyle of transformation and relationship with God flows from our worship. You see, if you really want to get to know God, who He is, who He desires to be in your life, then give yourself to worshiping Him. Not once in a while, but daily. And I promise that you will discover who He is and who He wants to be in your life. And you will continually be transformed. It's just not possible to stay the same if we commit ourselves to worshiping Him on a regular basis. Now, doing that may mean that we need to make some changes. It may mean that you have to be here on time. It may mean that you have to be here regularly, like every week. It may mean that you need to join a small group so that you can practice the kinds of things that we're going to be talking about this morning. But if you do that, I promise you, it is impossible to stay the same. So today, I want to ask this basic question: why do we sing? And kind of unpack that and give us a framework for why we do this. But before we go any further, I just want to pray. Will you guys join me as we pray? God, we love You and we thank You for this morning. And God, I thank You for this very moment right here, that You are with us, that You love us, and that You want to speak to us. I truly believe that You want to speak to us this morning. And so, God, I just ask that Your presence would come and fill this place even more. Lord, and would You fill me? Would You actually just remove anything that is not from You and just actually allow me to get out of the way so that You can speak this morning? We do our best right now to open our hearts and our minds to what You would have for us. And we pray these things in Your wonderful name. Amen. Like I said before, singing has been a major part of my life over the past 18 years. But in a room this size, I don't assume that everyone shares my background. You know, whether it be a modern worship song, a praise chorus, or a hymn, whenever God's people gather for a meeting, they nearly always sing. And have you ever wondered why? You know, does it really matter to God whether we sing or not? Does He like it when we sing? So let's look at this question. Why do we sing? The first reason we sing, letter A in your outlines, is because the Bible tells us to. You see, the Bible has over 400 references to singing and 50 direct commands for us to sing to God. Singing to God is something the Bible tells us to do. Now, if you have your Bibles, you can either open them up or turn them on, but we're going to look at a bunch of scripture right now. But Ephesians 5:19 says, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3:16, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. You know, the book of Psalms, it's the largest book in the Bible, but it's not just a book of history or teaching or prophecy. It's actually a book of poems set to music. And Psalm 68:4 says, sing to God, sing praises to his name. Psalm 95:1, oh come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Psalm 71:23, my lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, I whom you have redeemed. See, the Bible tells us that singing is a central activity to worshiping God. Now, there are certainly other things that we can do and that we do to worship God together, but we see throughout the Bible God's people worshiping him through singing together and several direct commands for us to sing to God. And for some of you sitting here right now, you love that. You couldn't wait to get here this morning to be able to just pour out your heart, to sing songs of praise and adoration, songs of awe and wonder that express who God is, and to just pour out your hearts. But what about times when you don't feel like singing? Have you ever not felt like singing? Maybe life in the world around you is not going well, and while we know that the Bible tells us that we're meant to sing, and we know that the Bible tells us that God is good and he's worthy of our praise, our hearts experience something entirely different. Sometimes we question God's goodness, and we question his closeness, and we do not feel like singing. I mean, have you ever felt that way? Have you ever walked in here and it was all that you could do to just make it into the room? Like everything that could possibly have gone wrong has gone wrong. And just making it into the room is all the strength that you could take to get you here. But the thought of singing is just actually really hard. I think it happens all the time. I think it happens all the time. And I think especially if you walked in, you know, while the music was already, while worship time has already started. I think it's just, it's hard sometimes. But here's the thing. Sometimes we sing not because we want to, but because if we do, we might actually start to feel like it. Sometimes singing isn't a response of praise of how good things are, or because the Bible tells us. Sometimes we sing because we need to. And so the second reason I want to give you for this morning for why we sing, letter B on your outlines, is we sing because God gave us singing to help develop and deepen our relationship with him. See, we need to sing. And if we start singing, we just might get to the point where we want to do it again, where we feel like it. See, look back at Psalm 71:23. There's something really subtle going on here. And one of the ways that we can interpret this verse and what the writer is trying to say is like this. I am going to shout for joy when I sing praise. I'm going to discipline myself to praise God. I'm going to move beyond my feelings and my emotions. You know, if you were here last week, Pastor Brian talked about worship and said it is not a feeling. It is not an emotion. And so we talk about this and we say, I'm going to move beyond my feelings and my emotions and I'm going to find something good to sing about. And in this process of this discipline, I just might find myself shouting for joy. See, sometimes we sing because we can't help it. Other times we sing because if we don't, we might sink further and further into something, maybe further into despair, maybe further into hopelessness. And I told you that I graduated and moved back, I graduated college and I moved back to New York City. And actually I was a school teacher in the New York City public school system for 9 years. And I taught at a school in the Red Hook section of Brooklyn, which is South Brooklyn in the projects. And my school was one street away from the New York Harbor. And so every day I would go down to the harbor at lunchtime and I would see the Statue of Liberty right there, right in front of me. And the New York skyline would be right there. It's like just a couple of miles away, just across the river. And I remember very clearly the morning of September 11th, 2001. I was in a classroom and we heard something that we weren't quite sure what it was. It was a faint, you know, loud explosion type thing. And we knew it wasn't in our building, but we knew it was outside. And so several colleagues and I went up to our rooftop of our building and we watched in utter disbelief what was happening right before our eyes. We actually stood on the rooftop and watched the North Tower be struck by the second plane. And then several minutes later, in utter disbelief, these buildings just crumble to the ground. And it's still an image that I wish I could wash away, but I can't. And I can remember this time of going through such pain and agony. You know, New Yorkers are extremely fierce about their city. So to be dealing with loss on such a grand scale, it was really difficult. And I can remember thinking like, God, my heart is literally going to cave in. I don't know if I can handle what is happening right now. In a span of a week, I lost friends. I had several colleagues who were widowed, students that were orphaned. And it was utterly horrific. And that following Sunday, it was my responsibility to lead worship at our church, the New York City Vineyard. And I can tell you, it was the thought of putting on a brave face and standing before my church and in front of people, it was just really painful for me. How could I stand up and keep it all together because I'm not? I'm confused, I'm angry, and I'm hurting. And the last thing that I wanted to do was to sing, and especially lead others in singing. But I knew that I had to. I knew that I had to muster up the strength to try to do the best that I could to bring myself before God and to worship Him because it felt like my life actually depended on it. I needed to strengthen and deepen my relationship with Him because the world felt like it was crumbling right before my eyes. And there was this song in our church at the time that was quite significant for us. And rather than just play it, I'm just going to sing a verse and a chorus for you guys. It's called I Will Praise You. And it goes like this. Alone in the silence, Lord, I can feel You. All around me, as deep calls to deep in the roar of Your waters, all of Your waves crash over me. Lord, I can feel You like many waters flood over me. Flood over me, flood over me, flood over me. Why are You so downcast, O my soul? I will yet praise Him, my Savior, my King. Why are You so downcast, O my soul? Raise Your voice and sing, put Your hope in Him. And I can remember, somewhere within that first chorus where it says, raise Your voice and sing, put Your hope in Him. I think I was ready to just fall over and be a puddle of tears on the floor. I was just broken. We were all just undone. And it was in that moment that I clearly felt like God was speaking to my heart. It wasn't like an audible voice, but I knew it was God. And it felt like He was saying to me, Matt, I am in charge here. Will you put your trust in me? Will you put your hope in me? Will you put your love and your total dependence in me? There are going to be things that you do not understand, but will you put your love, your trust, and your hope in me? And see, I didn't want to sing on that day or the days that followed, but I knew that I needed to. And God used these words from this particular song to further deepen and develop my relationship with him, to bring me back to a place where I could feel like singing again. Now, many of you can probably name songs that God has used to speak truths into your heart. Now, we could just recite those words to these songs to ourselves, but we don't normally do that, do we? We sing them. Why is that? See, along with helping us remember truths about God, singing also helps us meditate on them. See, unlike normal speech, singing allows us to draw out phrases and words, repeat them, even pause between them. And all of these techniques help us to think more deeply about what it is that we're singing. Let's try something here. I'm going to turn you guys into my big neurological music experiment, okay? You ready for this? You can do it, I promise. It won't hurt. No electrodes or anything like that. On the count of three, let's recite, not sing, the first verse of Amazing Grace, okay? I'll lead us, so you don't have to worry. Here we go. On the count of three, we're going to do this. Ready? One, two, three. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Good job. You guys did that pretty well. Okay. That's the first part. Good job. All right. Now on the count of three, let's sing the first verse together, okay? I'll lead us. You don't have to worry. You're all going to sound great, okay? But on the count of three, let's sing the first verse to Amazing Grace. You ready? Here we go. One, two, three. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. One, two, three. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Well done. That was very nice. You guys sound great. Yeah. Now, did you notice anything? Did you notice maybe how you were able to think more about the words when we sang them together? That's because music helps provide time to think about what it is that we're singing. And so first, we sing because the Bible tells us that we're made to. Second, we sing because singing helps develop and deepen our relationship with God by helping us to remember and meditate on truths about God. So if this is the case, then what we sing matters. Because there's something really profound going on when people gather to worship God and to sing praise and pour out their hearts to him. So what we sing matters. Therefore, letter C in your outlines, the third reason we sing is because we need to put great words on our lips. We need to put great words on our lips. Romans 12:2 says this, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." See, our hearts and our minds need to be continually renewed. So what we sing matters. And here's why I think the responsibility of anyone who serves in the capacity of leading worship needs to take their role so seriously. One of my primary responsibilities as someone entrusted to serve and lead others in worship is to put great words on the lips of those that are gathered to worship. And see, the songs that we choose, they're not just some really cool songs that allow us to, you know, show off our musical excellence with or just some sappy love songs that if I was to change the words or who they're, you know, just a couple words, I could easily sing them to my wife, Rebecca. That's not what's going on. See, we desire to sing songs that teach us about who God is, about who he desires to be in our lives, and ultimately allow us to cultivate our relationship with him. And oftentimes the world that we live in is in direct opposition to these biblical truths of who God is, of how, of who's in control, of how God views me, of how I'm meant to view the world in light of God's love and his mercy and his plan. What is he actually doing here? And I need, you know, the thought is this. There are people, our world is full of despair, anxiety, angst, negativity, stress, and it's filled with people that have no compass to help direct them when they're in crisis. And what I need and what we need are songs that put great words, great biblically truthful words on our lips. See, singing is one of the primary ways that we express objective truth about who God is. Truths that always were, always are, and always will be. Think about it this way. We probably teach as much theology through the songs that we sing as we do through the messages we teach. People don't often sit in their cars or listen on their iPods to Pastor Brian's sermon over and over and over again to the point where they get what's being taught deep down within them. The everyday person probably listens to a talk once and then it's gone. Now, of course, that's not you guys. You would never do that. But the Saturday night attenders, you know, they may be a different story. But many of us listen to the songs that we sing. One of the conversations I have constantly with people is they ask me, hey, what's that song? Where can I get it? Where can I download it so that they can listen to? So I'm always thinking, what are the kinds of songs that we're singing? What are the messages? What is the theology that we're teaching in these songs? Are they biblical? Are they theologically sound? Or are they a mile wide but an inch deep in terms of what they're saying? Now, don't mishear me. That doesn't mean simplicity is lost. You know, one of the most powerful songs we sing right now is a really simple song. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Now, that is a simple song, but it's just loaded with who our God is. And so there are certain songs that put great words on our lips. And in a culture where everything is faster and more temporary, where anxiety and stress and fear and uncertainty seem to lurk around every corner, we need to have a firm foundation, eternal truths that always have been and always will be on our lips and in our hearts. See, we need anchors that will help us stand firm when trouble comes. Not if, but when. And we need to put great words on our lips because it may just shape the kinds of things that we are going to think about, that we are going to say, that we are going to act upon, that we are going to take in and believe about who God is, about who Jesus is, about who the Holy Spirit is, about what he's up to in our world right now. See, look back at Psalm 71:23. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, I whom you have redeemed. See, I would argue that the broken, sinful human condition that we find ourselves in naturally has this magnetic force that pulls everything towards ourselves. We begin to think that it is all and always about us. We begin to think that our problems are the problems, that our struggles are the struggles, and that our heartache is the center of the universe. And so the fourth reason for why we sing, letter D on your outlines, is this. We sing in order to take our eyes off of ourselves and to put them onto Jesus. Look what the writers in Hebrews say. Chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witness to the life of faith, let us strip off everything that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion and who initiates and perfects our faith. I love the way the NIV puts this. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. You see, Jesus is a game changer. He changes everything. And I can honestly stand up here this morning with full confidence and say that there has never been a time in my life where focusing on Jesus instead of my pain, instead of my trouble, instead of my difficult circumstances hasn't been a benefit to my life ever. You know, my wife, Rebecca, and I, we have walked through some really difficult times where we did not know what we were going to do next or what was going to happen. But turning to Jesus has always been the best thing we have ever done. And see, worshiping together through singing reminds us there is something really big going on here. Just as the writer of the Psalms say, you have redeemed me. See, we must remind ourselves as followers of Jesus, as people maybe just looking and discovering who Jesus is, this redemption is available to us every day. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful for the fact that we can stand firm on the fact that we are loved and we are valued by God who sent his son Jesus to die for us, to rise from the dead for us, and to lead us into this new life, that Jesus is our hope, he's our security, he's our firm foundation, and he will not be defeated by the enemy because he has defeated the enemy on the cross. And that is our foundation. And so our redemption, that understanding of the cross, it's available to us every day. And so as I said, we sing because the Bible tells us to. We sing because God gave us singing to help us develop and deepen our relationship with him. We sing because we need to put great words on our lips. The fourth reason we sing is because our natural bent is to make everything about us. And so we sing in order to take our eyes off of ourselves and to put them onto Jesus. Let me give you one last reason this morning for why we sing. Ultimately, we sing because in our desire to worship God, letter E in your outlines, singing helps us respond to God more fully. Singing helps us respond more fully to God. See, we don't want to just sing about God. We want to sing to him. Our whole trajectory when we worship together is to lead us to a point where we are now responding to him. Because we know that when we worship, he's here. He's not a God that's far away. He's here. And so we sing of his great love. We sing of his amazing grace. And then we respond back to them. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come have your way in my life. And so we're responding. And see, the word respond is a verb. It's something that we're meant to do. And singing makes us active participants when we come together. See, in many ways, going to church in America has become more like a spectator sport. You know, in our culture of consumerism, it's made going to church more about what we get than what we give. Now, don't mishear me on this, okay? There is incredible value added to our relationships and our lives and our relationship with God as we come together to study the Bible, as we meet together to pray, as we spend time together. But it's only part of it. We're meant to engage in responding to God. And as I said earlier, our first priority as a people of God is to worship him. And singing is an activity that helps us respond more fully to God. You know, on a personal note, encountering God's love when I was 18 years old, right in the middle of worship, singing together, it caused me to radically think different about how to relate to God. See, I knew all about God. I knew it here. But in that moment, I experienced him in my heart. And I realized for the very first time that the God of the universe, who created everything, he knew me. And rather than maybe toss me aside like I felt like it deserved, I encountered something radically and utterly and entirely different. I experienced the fact that he actually knew me and loved me. And it changed my life forever. And this process stirred something in me. It caused me to want to respond to him in ways that seemed to be deeper and more meaningful than just maybe having this internal dialogue of praying to him or writing out my prayers in my journal. Responding more fully to God meant responding in ways that seemed to be more expressive and emotional for me. And to be honest, it didn't happen for me all at once. As I said, I grew up a New Yorker. And to this day, I still have many of those characteristics. And, you know, we're trained, we're taught from an early age never to be vulnerable. You know, so I could make non-eye contact with thousands of people and just go about my day. And so this didn't come natural to me. I was so self-conscious of what other people might think that it took me quite a long time to get to a point where I could move beyond my fears. I can remember the first time wanting to raise my hands in worship and being like right here. It's like, there's all I could do. Somebody's going to watch me. Somebody's going to, you know. But here's the thing. I knew that I had to move beyond my fears. I knew that I wanted to. And singing to God and learning how to respond to him, it became the thing that I could not live without. See, we sing because there are depths and heights and intensities and emotions that can't adequately be expressed by just speaking or writing or reading them. Singing allows us to combine intellect with emotion, our brains with our hearts, objective truths about who God is, and a response to it. In other words, singing exists to help us express emotion. That's the whole point. Sometimes singing isn't enough. We get caught up in encountering his love, and sometimes that's why lots of Christians raise their hands during worship, or they stand, or they come and they kneel, or they begin to cry or laugh. And you know what? That's not being disrespectful. You know, Nehemiah 8:10 says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." And when we begin to experience God's love through the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life, what I found out was what people thought about me really didn't matter that much. It just became less and less important in that moment. Sometimes you have to respond to your loving Father differently. And when we do, he loves that. God loves it. He's blessed when we fully give our hearts, our spirits, our bodies to him in worship. So don't ever be ashamed or embarrassed about fully responding to God. Singing helps us more fully respond to him. The one thing that we take very seriously is we just don't want to be a distraction to people. But we work very hard at maintaining a non-hype, non-manipulative style of worship here. See, we seek to create a safe place for people that have been following Jesus for decades and decades to come and simply worship through singing together. And we seek to create that same place for somebody. There's somebody here today that maybe they have never thought about this idea of worshiping God. And we love it that we have a church where we have that range of people here. And it's great. And see, we look to seek create a safe place for people to encounter God's love as we worship. See, this is what I've given my life to. I know that right now in this time of my life, that's what I'm called to do. To help create the best opportunity for people to encounter God's presence, his love, his grace, his mercy, right here as we gather together and worship. And so here's the thing. You know, we talk about our mission being to transform ordinary people into extraordinary followers of Christ. See, God's desire is that you would give yourself intimately over to him. Time and time and time and time again. And becoming a worshiper and singing to God, this will continue to help us be transformed. This is such an important thing for us. And I just love that we get to do this together. Now, we're going to, you know, it's one thing to talk about this, but I've asked James, he's going to come out and he's going to lead us in a song. And I think we want to put this into practice, okay? And here, we're going to actually spend a few moments practicing this response part of this, okay? And here's what I want you to think about, okay? What are your next steps as a worshiper? For some here, maybe your next step is just a first one. A first step. And your first step is simply that when these words come up on the screen, you are meant to just take them in. Maybe just read them. What are they saying? What are the messages? Just engage with those words, okay? Maybe that's your very first step, and that's great. Go for it. For others, maybe your next step is to actually open your mouth and as we sing, to sing them. Sing these words. I promise you nobody's going to be worried whether, you know, we all make a joyful noise. It's not about whether you have a lovely voice or not. You guys sound great. I heard you sing. Okay? But maybe your next step is simply to sing those words. Still for others, maybe your next step as a worshiper is to lift your hands. You know, this is not like anything other than the universal sign for surrender. You know, we have a lot of people in law enforcement. They love to see this. It's a safe thing. But, you know, the reality is our God loves it when we surrender to him. And this is just an outward expression of an inward desire to say, God, I'm yours. I surrender to you. And so maybe your next step is just to simply raise your hands. And still for others, maybe your next step is that as we stand together, you will come out and maybe you want to just kneel before the Lord as we worship. You know, there's people all the time up here kneeling. And maybe, you know, we see through the Bible that worship is a physical act as well. And so I want to invite you to stand right now, and James is going to lead us in this song. It's one that we sing here a lot. But if you're not, what I want you to do is just, maybe if you can, just close your eyes and just act as if you are singing these words directly to Jesus, because we are. And he's here. And then I'll come back and we'll close the service.
This is my song. Well, this is my song to you. A melody of thanks for you. An expression of wonder at your beauty and your splendor. No other cry have I than to know you more and lift you high. O God of infinite glory, above all you are worthy. Say, what can I bring? And what can I bring to you? Well, simply a song of love and boundless gratitude. My whole life for you. This is my song. Well, this is my song to you. A melody of thanks for you. An expression of wonder at your beauty and your splendor. No other cry have I than to know you more and lift you high. O God of infinite glory, above all you are worthy. Let's sing this out. What can I bring? And what can I bring to you? With simply a song of love and boundless gratitude. My whole life for you. And you've rescued me from death. You've given me your kingdom and blessed me. Mercies from above. Let's raise our hands and voices. Had I riches, and had I riches, I would bring them. Had I kingdoms, I would lose them. Had I the world, we're too small. Simply a song of love and boundless gratitude. My whole life for you.
Let's just stay in this attitude. The Lord is here. You know, if you're new to the Vineyard, what you need to know is we love to pray for people. And so if our ministry team would come forward, it'd be great to have you guys come up. There are two things that God has really placed on my heart for weeks, actually, as I was preparing for today, this weekend. And so there are two things I just want to offer up. I feel like the first thing is that as we end this year, you know, this year is almost over. I can't believe it. It's so fast. And the new year is always this time of making resolutions and new things and new starts. And I felt like God wanted to encourage and challenge some of us that you're actually meant to commit yourself to being a worshiper. And if that's you, I would love to just pray a blessing over you. But just simply that God is drawing you further and further, and you're meant to commit yourself to being a worshiper. And there are going to be some practical things that go along with that, but that is something that you wouldn't just let get lost as life gets busy, but you would commit yourself to the discipline of being a worshiper. And so if that's you, I'd love it if you just would come forward. We want to pray for you. And the other thing that I really felt that God put strongly on my heart, you know, my vision and our vision as a church, you know, we have over 100 small groups. And a lot of those small groups don't have live worship happening because we just don't have enough people at this point to facilitate being worship leader. And some of you today, you heard my story of how I started being a musician. It was simply so that I could facilitate worship in my small group. And some of you were stirred by that. And I really feel that God would call you to step out and take the risk of doing whatever it takes to get to the point where you can lead worship in a small group. Yeah, it's going to take time. It's going to take an investment. It's going to take hard work. But you know what? It's possible. And will you commit yourself to engaging in that process so that you can at some point, whether it's 6 weeks from now, 6 months from now, 6 years from now, be in a place where you can facilitate worship in your small group? And as your worship pastor, I would do anything we can to help you do that. But I think there are several of you that God just wants to, we want to bless you. I want to pray over you. So either of those things, if you're here and you feel that's you, then I want you to come forward. I just want to pray for you. And if you're here and you want prayer for anything, nothing is too great or too trivial, there's a group of people here that would love to pray for you. God, I just thank you for what you're doing right now in this moment, right here. And I pray that you would stir for those that want to commit to being deeper and going further in their worship life. I pray that just something would come alive right now in their hearts. That you would just ignite a fire in their heart, that nothing would get in the way of them deepening their relationship with you through worship. And I pray that it would just almost be instantaneous as they put on music in their car, as they go to their small groups, as they gather next week, that worship would be something that's completely different for them. It's new and alive and fresh. And so we just pray that that would happen. And for those that feel the call to learn how to play an instrument and learn how to do whatever it takes to facilitate worship in their small group, I just thank you for them. I pray that you'd bless them right now. Lord, would you supernaturally plant in them whatever they need in order to take those steps and do that? And I pray that they would commit themselves to the discipline of learning the practical things that it takes in order to lead worship in their small group. Bless them, Lord. And as we close, I just want to pray a blessing over all of us as we go. God, again, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your presence right here. Lord, as we end this year and enter into a new season, I pray that just the ministry of worship would be alive in our hearts and alive in our church and alive in our small groups and anywhere we gather, that we would be drawn to you through worship. And so, Lord, we thank you for your presence here. Would you continue to be with us as we go out into our daily lives and in our week? Would you be with us, Lord? I thank you for this time. And it's in your powerful name that we pray. Amen. Hey, again, welcome to the Vineyard. Before you leave, why don't you say hello to somebody as you're going out? And if you're a guest, don't forget to check out the information center on your way out. God bless you.